Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. Today we're going to be answering the question, how should a Christian view their responsibility to steward their body in regards to diet and nutrition? Is it sinful for Christians to be physically out of shape?
Yeah, now those are actually two different questions that we got during the Spurgeon Study Bible Contest. Don't you have great nostalgic feelings about the Spurgeon Study Bible Contest? I just get warm feelings when I think about that. But two different people asked kind of the same question. One person said, how should a Christian view their responsibility to steward their body in regards to diet and nutrition? Another person just kind of went straight to the core issue. Is it sinful for a person to be physically out of shape? We'll kill two birds with one stone here today. Now, this reminds me, what if somebody wanted to know something like, hey, my spouse is horribly out of shape. Isn't it sinful for them to be horribly out of shape? We've just added the capability on our website of asking questions anonymously. So you no longer have to be timid about asking those kinds of questions because you don't have to throw your spouse under the bus anymore. Or if you have a horribly embarrassing question to ask about yourself, but you don't want me or Kyle to know about it, you don't have to keep those to yourself anymore. On our contact us page on truthandcircumstances.com, you no longer have to put a name or email address on there. You can just send the question in. But please don't just use that as a forum for saying mean things to Kyle.
Yeah.
Just do those things face to face, please.
I will know that it was you.
That's right. That's right.
Because I work for Apple and I can reverse.
That's right.
No, that doesn't mean that.
Right. Yeah. Don't do that because you'll scare people off from asking their anonymous questions.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's start by saying the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. I think people probably assumed that we would go there first. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20 reads, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Now, this context is specifically about sexual immorality. And some professing believers in Corinth were joining themselves to prostitutes. And Paul was making the point, hey, look, you can't just do whatever you want with your body. Your body isn't your body. And we may have a hard time even imagining such a thing. But in Corinth, this was happening. And people had so bought into this idea that I can do whatever I want with my body. It's my heart that I want to keep close to the Lord. Well, Paul is saying, no, your body isn't yours. Your whole person isn't yours. You were bought with a price. And I think, you know, like if Peter were in the room, like looking over Paul's shoulder as he's writing this, he would say, hey, I wrote something kind of similar in 1 Peter 1. Why don't you add this thing about, yeah, you were bought with not with perishable things, but imperishable things, like the blood of Christ. Why don't you add that, Paul? And of course, Paul doesn't do that. But then Paul says, so glorify God with your body. Glorify God with your body. It's not yours. It belongs to someone else. It was purchased. Okay. Now, verse 13 of that same chapter, it appears that Paul quotes one of the Corinthians' own sayings, one of their own slogans, and then shoots it down. And that saying that they had was, food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food. And apparently that was a saying that they had applied to sexuality. Their mindset was, the body can have whatever it wants, and that's not sinful. I mean, the food is meant for the body, or meant for the stomach for food. So just give the stomach whatever it wants and whatever quantity it wants. And so they're applying that to sexuality. Let the body do whatever it wants sexually. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? Let your body have whatever it wants. That's like the mindset of modern day earth. Mm-hmm. But because they used that slogan about food to justify sexual immorality, we know that that's how they felt about food as well. So for that reason, what Paul says against sexual immorality there can and should be applied to gluttony, which brings us to a second point.
Yes, gluttony is a sin.
Gluttony is a sin. And this really is uncontested biblically. Mm-hmm. You'd be hard-pressed to find anybody in the evangelical church who would argue that being drunk is not a sin. And getting drunk is roundly thought of as a horrible thing in the church, though a lot of people do it in the closet. But if you search the word glutton or gluttony in the Bible, you'll only find two places where it's not placed right next to drunkenness. Drunkenness and gluttony are like boyfriend and girlfriend in the Bible. They're almost always together. In Deuteronomy 21, 18 and following, the law gives instruction on how a father and mother should deal with a stubborn and rebellious son. And the examples of rebellion given there are drunkenness and gluttony. And the prescription for that wanton, unrepentant disobedience was stoning by the men of the city. Proverbs 23:20 counsels us not even to associate with drunkards and gluttons. Likewise, Proverbs 28:7 says that a companion of gluttons shames his father. Now think about that. It doesn't say that to be a glutton is to shame your father, but to be a friend of a glutton is to shame your father. That's why it's such a scandalous thing for Jesus to be accused by the Jews of being a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners in Matthew 11:19 and Luke 7:34. Of course, that wasn't true of Jesus, but it was about the worst accusation that could be leveled against him there. It was a horrible thing. And yet, in our culture, and even in the church, gluttony is what Jerry Bridges has called a respectable sin. Have you read that book, Respectable Sins?
But no.
It's fantastic. And the reason he calls it a respectable sin is it's a sin that we just tolerate. It's not something that we even really think of as sin.
Yeah, Baptist potlucks are kind of... We're thought of as people who, it's okay to eat a lot of fried chicken.
It's a celebration of gluttony almost. Yeah. We joke about engaging in this sin. Many of us regularly eat beyond the point of satiety, and then we joke about it. We make sport of it. Literally, there are competitive eaters. I've even heard of churches having eating contests. Mm. Now, you know, I would never like beat on somebody who had a problem with drinking, because you know we all know that getting drunk is a sin. The reason that I'm hammering on this so much is because it is a respectable sin.
Yeah, it's viewed differently.
Right. I think that we need to hammer on this a little bit to get to the point. Think of what a spectacle Thanksgiving is. We have this holiday supposedly dedicated to expressing how grateful we are to God for all the blessings in our lives, and we show our gratitude by eating ourselves to the point of discomfort and beyond for a full day.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So, God, we're so thankful that we're going to defile our bodies now. Paul argues in 1 Corinthians 6 that those who have the Holy Spirit are members of Christ. Their bodies are members of Christ. And when they engage in prostitution, they take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute. That's abominable. We should think the same way about gluttony. Gluttony is sinful. We shouldn't overeat, period. It's just we should take that sin and put it in the same category as anything else that we find absolutely abhorrent to the Holy Spirit of God.
Now, what about eating specific foods like junk food?
Okay. Now, that's a great question, and I think that may be in the mind of some of those who are phrasing the question the way that the first person is. How should we think about our responsibility regarding diet and stewarding our bodies? They may have in mind this idea of what about specific foods or abstaining from junk foods? Okay. eating specific foods, abstaining from what some people call junk food, I'd put that into the wisdom and possibly preference category. I don't think we can say hard and fast things about what we should and should not abstain from, because in Colossians 2:16, Paul says, "Let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food or drink." That is, don't let people tell you it's sinful to eat certain things or drink certain things.
He wouldn't include there, though, the act of gluttony. He's not getting at...
Exactly.
He's talking about what they're eating.
What they're eating, specifically what they're eating. Then in Romans 14:3, he turns it into a command for the other person, saying, "Let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats." In other words, your conscience won't allow you to eat certain things, but don't press your conscience on someone else. Now, there's something interesting in 1 Timothy 4, the first four verses. Paul talks about insincere liars whose consciences are seared, who tell people, you can't eat this or that. And then he says, you can eat anything if you receive it with thanksgiving. So don't press your conscience about food choices on other people. Gluttony is explicitly sinful in the scriptures. Eating particular foods in moderation is not. But if we do want to maybe appeal to science for a second and leave the Bible out of it, I'm not a fan of leaving the Bible out of anything, but let's just for a minute say, well, we'll just talk about science. What is junk food? There really is no consensus, and you can find studies to justify almost any kind of eating. High-fat diets, low-fat diets, high-carb diets, low-carb diets, high grains, no grains. I just listened to an audiobook that it was like 10 hours long, and it was all about if you're eating whole grains, which everybody says is about the best thing you can do. If you're eating whole grains, it's destroying your brain. Okay.
Before it was fat. You can't eat fat at all. Now it's you need fat.
I know. I saw one diet that was nothing but bananas. Nothing. But, I love bananas. I would be okay with that as long as I could have a hamburger every now and then. But it was nothing but bananas. And this banana diet had studies to back it up. I mean, now because of all of that, I think it's difficult to make hard statements even scientifically. And I certainly can't think of biblical reasons to go one way or the other. So I would just want to say, don't overeat. Don't eat beyond the point of satisfaction.
Yeah.
Don't eat to the point where you're uncomfortable. Eat to where you are comfortably satisfied, and don't go beyond that.
Yeah. I mean, this might be a controversial statement, but being overweight is not a sin.
Yeah. Now that's a huge thing to keep in mind. Being overweight is not a sin. The stigma of being overweight is why so many people don't like us talking about gluttony. Now, over in 10 years of ministry, I've been a pastor for almost 10 years now. It'll be 10 years next month. I've only one time ever had anybody give me a hard time about talking about sin. In fact, a lot of times, many times actually, I've had people pat me on the back for saying, you are so courageous and brave for calling out sin. Mm-hmm. And for calling people to holiness. One time somebody cornered me and said, it is a horrible thing that you have talked about sin. And it was because I said something about gluttony. And I think the reason that this is a touchy thing is because of the stigma of being overweight. But we have to understand that being overweight isn't a sin. Some overweight people are overweight because of a health issue. Mm. They've got a health problem. They can't lose weight no matter what they eat or don't eat or how much they work out. And those people who have that kind of problem, they assume that everyone else assumes that they're overweight because they overeat all the time.
Right.
And that is not the case. So you can be overweight and not be a glutton. And there are people like that all around us. There's nothing sinful about being overweight. Gluttony is a sin, not being overweight. Now, some people on the other end of the spectrum have a crazy high metabolism, and they can't gain weight no matter what they eat. There are some people who are gluttons to the nth degree who look like they haven't had a solid meal in weeks.
And they're overlooked.
And, absolutely.
Yeah.
And they need to repent of their sin.
Right.
Okay? So someone's appearance is no indication of whether or not they are in sin in this area. And I think there are some of us who need to repent of the sin of assuming that somebody is guilty of the sin of gluttony because they're overweight. That we ought not think that way. We ought not make the assumption that somebody is sinning because they're overweight. It's quite possible that they have a health issue. That happens all the time. Okay, now what about exercise?
Yeah. It is a profitable, virtuous thing to take care of one's body.
Yes, it is. 1 Timothy 4:8 reads, "For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." Now, obviously, the main point that Paul makes in 1 Timothy 4:8 is that we should value spiritual exercise above bodily exercise, and we'll get to that later, but a lot of people quote this verse to justify not taking care of their bodies. And I've heard this so many times, as if the verse reads, bodily training is of no value. Godliness is of value in every way. That's not what Paul writes. Bodily training is of some value. Mm. Just ask your doctor. I mean, yeah. he'll validate it. Bodily training could be put into the category of godly planning and foresight that is championed in Proverbs. When you take care of your body, you're better able to serve the Lord and others. Can anybody argue with that? The Proverbs 31 woman, whom we all praise and talk about so frequently, listen to what King Lemuel writes about her. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. He talks about this in her list of virtues, and it seems that the strength makes her better able to serve. It's a virtuous thing. Listen, long life is talked about in the scriptures as a blessing from the Lord. It's a good thing to live a long life. It's a good thing to serve him many years. Taking care of one's body is a wise thing to do so that one can have more time to proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. The difficulty in answering that second question that came up earlier, which was, is it sinful to be physically out of shape? The difficulty with answering that is that it's such a subjective thing. What does it mean to be out of shape? Again, there are people who exercise regularly who are overweight for various medical reasons. Other people can't exercise for various medical reasons or other circumstances. So we should be caring for our bodies as they are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, but I'm not sure how to set up any kind of standard for what that should look like for people. It likely should be left to the individual conscience, just like we were talking about earlier with what kinds of foods we eat. We should be very careful about putting our own preferences and standards on other people regarding what it means to exercise and to be fit.
Right, and it is possible for diet and exercise to become too important.
Right. So I would go back again to 1 Timothy 4:8. For while bodily training is of some value, it is of some value, and we should take care of our bodies, godliness is more valuable. And so growing in godliness should be a higher priority to us than taking care of our physical bodies. And so diet and exercise should not be a higher priority than growing in godliness. Now, this is a minor concern, comparatively speaking. There seem to be far more people not taking care of themselves physically than there are people who have made an idol out of it. People who are in terrible shape may tend to think that anyone who is committed to exercise and eating right is engaged in idolatry. It's only idolatry if it's eclipsed their devotion to the Lord. I personally don't know anybody like that. I personally don't know anybody who's made an idol out of this. I know it's possible. I don't personally know anybody. I think maybe that I know some celebrities that might have.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, it's something to keep in mind. I mean, we want everything to be in its rightful place under the lordship of Jesus Christ. So we want to care about how we eat, We don't want to be gluttons. We want to care about how we steward our bodies, but we don't want that to become the ultimate thing in our lives. We want everything to be in its rightful place, and we want to take Paul's words in 1 Timothy 4:8 to heart and say that bodily training is of some value. Godliness is of greater value.
Right.
So we just want to have our priorities in line.
Amen. A lot of helpful, practical things. Yeah. Till next time.
Praise God. See you.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.